Hello and welcome to this video version of the message preached today at Beverly Hills Community Church. I've titled the message, Why Serve God? I want to read to you two different passages of scripture, one from Job chapter 21 and the other from Malachi 3. In Job 21 verse 13, we read, they spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace, yet they say to God, leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What would we gain by praying to him? That's the NIV. The next passage is in the only Italian prophet, Malachi. Actually, we say Malachi, but Malachi or Malachi, chapter 3, verse 13, says, you've said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements, going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? So again, I title this, Why Serve God? Because in both of these passages, we have people asking, why should they serve God? What's the profit of it? And in both passages, you find that these are kind of rebellious people. In Job, they're probably non-Jews, but in Malachi, they're actually the Jewish people who are complaining. And so they're saying, what profit is it for us to serve God? I think it's very noteworthy right off the bat here to mention that these Israelites who said, what profit is it for us to serve God? They were the people who were specially chosen of God, delivered out of Egypt, given a covenant, brought into a covenant with God to where he protected them and he provided for them and he brought them into a promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. Those were the people who said, what profit is it for us to serve God? They were complaining and they thought it was too hard. But, you know, people do tend to complain and people do tend to seek their own profit, don't they? In fact, most people in this world are focused on their own self-interest. We all are. We all tend to be. Our own happiness. We're all tuned in to radio station WIIFM. What's in it for me? And it's human nature. It's just something about the way we are. Unfortunately, when we live for self and try to serve self and we're all tuned in into what's in it for me, that usually doesn't pan out that well, doesn't produce good results. It usually ends in disillusionment. And the reason is because it's not what we were designed for. It's not the focus God wants us to have in our lives. Instead of serving God, we live to serve self. You see, that's what's wrong with it. We weren't made to serve self. We were made to serve God. And of course, this is just so prevalent. It's ubiquitous in the world. It's even in churches, because there are a lot of churches today that'll teach you how you can get God's blessing. He'll bless you if you do this, and he'll bless you if you do that. And they teach you how you can achieve, quote, your best life now, unquote. And those churches, of course, tend to be the biggest churches. Why? Because they preach what people are tuned into. They preach what people want to hear. But you know, if you use religion, or if you use the idea of serving God as a means to your own ends, that is really one of the most serious errors you can make, because it misses the whole point entirely. You know, ever since ancient times, though, religion has been used for our own ends. The ancient people, when they worshiped their gods, they appeased them with their sacrifices and so forth. What were they doing that for? Well, they were afraid of the gods. They didn't want the gods to hurt them or, you know, attack them or give them bad luck or something. So they did these things so they'd have a better life, right? Even Christians do that. We do it today. But in the Middle Ages, for example, I was very amused when I read about how in the Middle Ages, the people tended out in the rural areas to use talismans of good luck. They'd use their rosaries, their scapulars, and they'd say novenas, and they'd do certain prayers and so on. They congregated where there were relics of some saint. And why did they do it? Because, you know, a lot of women died in childbirth back then. They wanted their women to survive childbirth. They wanted healthy babies. They wanted good crops. They wanted good luck. They wanted a better life. So ultimately, they were doing the same thing as the ancients. They were doing these things to try to get a better life. And it's interesting, it made me amuse because I noticed that both Catholic priests and Protestant Reformed ministers preached to the masses and said, you shouldn't do all these things, don't look to all this stuff. But the folks never listened to either their Catholic priests or their Protestant ministers because they didn't care about theology. They didn't care about a biblical worldview. What they wanted was good luck. They wanted things to work well. And so that's always just so ingrained in us. Now, in our day, of course, a lot of people don't believe in a personal God, but they believe in what they call spirituality, in commas there, in quotes. And they practice things like yoga or meditation or, you know, Oprah Winfrey, for example. She's had people come on who teach this thing about positive confession and all, thinking positively. There's just all kinds of folks out there that'll teach you these things. They have seminars on it and all. But the bottom line is it's kind of a new form of religion, you might say, although not really new. But the goal of it's the same as everything that we've been talking about. It's attaining a happy, fulfilled life. In other words, what it really amounts to is serving yourself through some kind of religious or spiritual avenue. Now, another segment of our society today doesn't tend to believe in God at all. Maybe they're atheistic or they think they're more scientific. And they think, you know, God doesn't do anything. There is no God, or if there is a God, he doesn't interfere in life. He doesn't do anything. So if you pray to him and all, that doesn't matter. And so for them, they ask the same question these people in Job did. They said, why should we serve God? They ask that out of unbelief. You know, they don't believe in God. So why should we serve God? That's useless. And that way, they just serve themselves shamelessly, because to them, that's what life's about. You should serve yourself. Why would anyone serve God? Someone who doesn't exist. Someone who doesn't do anything. And so religious people, we sometimes kind of counter that by saying, well, you should serve God because there's an afterlife, there's a judgment, and you should serve God so you won't go to hell. And lots of evangelists, lots of churches take that approach. I've taken that approach in the past. And the idea is serve God so you won't go to hell. Serve God so you will escape judgment. But, you know, even when you scare people like that and talk about hell and judgment and all that, still, a great number of people feel that, well, yeah, but it's just too hard. I don't want to go to hell, but it's just too hard to serve God. And so what they plan to do is they actively plan to just serve themselves, but they hope that just before they die, they'll ask for forgiveness for doing that, and maybe God will be merciful on them and let them into heaven anyway. The thing is, you know, if you serve God so you won't go to hell, you still end up with the focus is all on you. You're trying to really, you're serving yourself. And the problem with all these approaches is that all of them have an erroneous understanding or a misconception of what it even means to serve God. And why is that? Well, this probably is a holdover from earlier times, because in the past, starting in really in the first century and into the second century and all, a lot of people had this concept of, you know, to serve God, that means you got to live in a cave somewhere or out in the desert. You should wear really rough cloth, you know, sackcloth, so it's kind of uncomfortable. You sleep on the hard, cold floor. You crawl on your hands and knees when you pray. You got to fast a lot. Or when you eat, you eat just, you know, bread and water. You should wear black. Have you ever noticed how many ministers wear black? A lot of people have this concept. You shouldn't smile or laugh a lot. It's very serious, very somber. Some folks have even gone so far as to say you need to, you know, self-flagellation, beat yourself with whips or chains. They've made garments that you put on that hurt you, you know, pierce your skin and so forth. And believe it or not, I mean, we see this in Iran. They do this every year in the Najaf, I think it is. They beat themselves till they bleed. But it's been in Christianity too. A lot of Christians, and believe it or not, I did a lot of study on this in seminary. Thousands and thousands of people over the years had this kind of approach. And to them, you know, monks, nuns, many of them, the desert fathers, many of them had this concept that serving God means you got to go to a desert, a cave, a monastery somewhere. You live alone, isolated, whatever. A lot of people have a notion that, you know, serving God, if I said I'd serve God, man, he'd probably send me to Africa and I'd have to live in a mud hut somewhere. And I think a lot of this came about because as early believers thought about Christ and how he, you know, was whipped and scourged and had the crown of thorns and he was tortured on the cross and he died that gruesome way. And they think about the early believers who were martyred, you know, during the times of the Roman Empire. They persecuted thousands and thousands of believers. They were tortured, fed the lions and all that. I think that that sort of carried over into the concept that people had of what it meant to serve God. But it's very unfortunate because what actually happened, I think, is people conflated two things. They saw the suffering of Christ and they thought, well, that's what it means to be Christ-like. We have to suffer like that to be Christian. They saw the suffering of the martyrs and they said, that's what the Christian life entails. But what they're doing there is conflating the results, the things that come about as a person tries to serve God in a hostile world. They're conflating that with what it means to serve God in itself, you see. And we have to remember not to make that mistake, because Christ bore that crown of thorns and those whip lashes on his back and those spikes in hands and feet for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He did it so we wouldn't have to. And the martyrs, again, they didn't suffer like that because that's what God wants you to feel. That's what he wants you to go through. No, they suffered like that because people out there hated God. They were hostile to God and they hated God's people. We mustn't conflate those two. Serving God per se doesn't mean that you like choose the most miserable way of life imaginable, you know? And you just make yourself suffer. That's because that's what God wants you to do. No. Actually, I believe a better definition of serving God is just this. Serving God is living the way God wants you to live. Simple, huh? That's what it is. It's just loving God and obeying him. It's putting him first. It's orienting your life around him in all that you do instead of around yourself. You know, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, we're just to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice and be renewed in our minds because this is our reasonable service. That's serving God. And I like the Living Bible version there because it says, when you think of all God has done for us, is this too much to ask? See, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying serving God is easy. No, it's not by any means always easy. You know, life's not easy. There's work we have to do in life. There are responsibilities. We all have to do things that are hard sometimes. There are crises in life, disasters, wars. There's persecution for some, poverty, sickness, crime, all these different kinds of things. We face temptations in life. And so I'm not saying it's easy because look, let's face it, the Christian life kind of goes against the tide, doesn't it? Goes against the tide of the whole world. But again, what I'm trying to emphasize here is that these things, they're not the result of serving God. Actually, they're the result of not serving God. I mean, when Adam and Eve didn't serve God, they served self. What happened was fear came in, negative emotions came in, they had to work hard, there were thorns and thistles, their first son killed their second son. I mean, the terrible stuff came in when people didn't serve God. That's what causes all the negative and the suffering in life. I mean, think about it. When a dictator threatens or he oppresses people, is he serving God? Is Kim Jong-un serving God by what he's doing to the North Korean people? If somebody commits an act of violence, a school shooting or something, or if there's injustice that's committed, is that because the people who commit that injustice are serving God? Well, is war the result of serving God? Is an accident? Is a sickness? Is a crime? No, you see, usually these negative results come about when people don't serve God. This is a world filled with people who don't serve God, and that's why. There's so much horror here. Again, I repeat, you know, serving God is actually just obeying and loving him, giving him his due. It's recognizing that he made us, he loves us, his ways are best. Think about this. God created us and created this beautiful world. He provides everything we need. Not only that, but when we fell away from him and we rejected him and we sinned against him, he even took another step and sent his son here to suffer and die for us, to bring us back, to restore us. I mean, we're doubly indebted to God. He's done so much for us. And as the Living Bible says, with all that he's done for us, is it too much to ask that we should serve him? And so, God, it's right for us to serve God. You see, years ago, you know, people thought that the earth was the center of the universe, right? And all the planets and stars moved around the earth. Then they learned how totally wrong that was. The earth's not the center. The earth also revolves around the sun with all the other planets. Everything goes around the sun. The sun is the center, right? That was the true way things are supposed to be. It's kind of like this here. We tend to think everything should go around us, and we serve ourselves, and we think everybody should serve us. God is wanting us to say, no, the emphasis should be on him, because he knows what's best, and we're to live for him. So serving God just means understanding he's the center, and sort of lining ourselves up with his purposes instead of our own. Now, people say, well, yeah, but that's selfish of God. Why does he want us to do that? Here's the thing that you have to always remember. We're to do it because it's right and God says to do it. Serve God, that's what you were made for. But the fact is that it always turns out for your good. This is the paradox of it. If you seek just for yourself, you end up, you know, failing and losing it, missing it. But if you seek to serve God, it always ends up for your good. Think about some examples of this. Like, if you serve God, you're not to lie, cheat, and steal, right? Okay. So you say, you know, to serve God, don't lie, cheat, and steal, because he's not pleased with that, and that's against his will. And so if you want to serve him, you shouldn't do those things. But let me ask you something. If you don't lie, cheat, and steal, does that hurt you? Would that hurt the world? Would it be harmful? I mean, it would make you suffer, right? It would be painful. It would be difficult. Would it? No. If you serve God and do what he says, it's going to be for the good of everybody. Think about alcohol, drugs. You know, don't use too much alcohol. Don't use drugs. Don't get addicted to gambling. Because why? Because you serve God and you want to please him, and he doesn't like those things, right? Right, he doesn't like those things. But let me ask you, if you don't drink too much alcohol, you don't take drugs, you don't get addicted to gambling, is that going to hurt you? Is that going to hurt the world? No. You see, what I'm trying to say is, if everybody understood serving God doesn't detract from your life, it doesn't rip you off. No, it would enhance your life. It blesses your life. Sure. To serve God, you have to deny worldly lusts and sinful pleasures, right? Yeah, you got to do that, right? And it's hard to do, and sometimes, and often we fail to do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's easy to do. I'm not saying we don't blow it. But what I'm saying is, if you do it, is it going to hurt you? No. It's going to make you healthier and happier. It's really the way God designed you to be, just like a fish breathing, you know, the water. Being in the water. The fish is designed for the water. Serving God is what we're designed for. If we live serving God, it promotes our well-being. It's actually the most fulfilled way of living. You'll be more fulfilled than any other way. Like, for example, if you set aside one day in seven to worship God, right? That's serving the Lord. Did God initiate that in order to punish you? Think about it. No. God orders the Sabbath because it's for our good, so we would rest, so we could be with family, so we could orient ourselves around God, so we could worship him, we could spend time in the Word. And speaking of that, you know, God wants us to spend time in the Word. God wants us to read and meditate, and he wants us to pray and study the Scripture and go to Bible studies and stuff. Why does he ask for that? Is that because he's just mean and he wants life to be miserable for you? No. You see, if you serve God by studying his Word and focusing on it and meditating on it and memorizing it, things like that, it'll so bless your life. It'll so enrich your life, because God will become more real to you. You'll know more who he is and what he's done and the riches that he has for you and glory and so forth. It'll be a thing of rejoicing. Serving God by focusing on his Word, that's meant to maximize your life, not minimize, not rip you off. And the same can be said of all the spiritual disciplines. You know, worship. Why does God want us to worship? He's just egocentric. He's a narcissist. He wants us to worship. No, he wants us to worship, and he wants us to give him thanks and things like that, because as we do that, we come alive to all the good he's done, and we become more thankful, more grateful, happier. If we spend time in prayer and fasting and fellowship and meditation, all of these things, they're not dues that we have to pay so God won't punish us. They're not things that we do to earn his love so he'll love us more. On the contrary, these are things God gives us that open us up to experience more of him, more of his love, more of his blessing, more of his reality. So if we serve God rather than self, it ends up being good for us. See, don't seek the good for yourself. Don't do it just for yourself. Do it because it's what God orders, but it'll end up bringing benefit to you. Have you noticed lately how many good things are maligned in this world, in day-to-day life? I've been noticing this for the last year or so. I don't know why, but it's just brought to my attention over and over. So many really good things are maligned constantly in our society and spoken badly of. Let me give you some examples. Fossil fuels. I read a book sometime back, The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels. I've put videos from Alex Epstein and his thing that he does and goes around and speaks about this. I urge you to read that, The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels. People today say fossil fuels, they're killing us. They're poison. They're ugly. They're nasty. They look at the birds covered with oil. They're making smoke. They're creating climate change. We're all going to die. And they tell us we've got like 12 years to stop fossil fuels or we'll be ruined. And yet, as Epstein brings out in his book, and if you just think about it, if you look around, fossil fuels have been a great boon to us. The last several centuries, they've profited us. They've made us prosper. They've given us the energy we have, so our hospitals have electricity and all the machines can work and the IVs and all the different things that maintain life and fertilizer can be made and electricity can, farm tractors can work. Everything that we get, everything we have comes from fossil fuel energy. Because we have abundant energy, we can have better lives. It's a wonderful thing. The coal we have, the petroleum and the natural gas in this country, these are treasures. And God gave more to America than any other country. We should be thankful for them, not say they're terrible and say we got to get rid of them in 12 years. That's absurd. Likewise, people talk about capitalism today. Oh, it's terrible. It's greedy. It's ruining everything. It's oppressing the people. We need to go socialist. My goodness, does anybody understand history? Study about capitalism. It started in Northern Italy. It started in Christian Europe. Capitalism came about in the monasteries, first of all, if you want to know the truth, and it's been a great boon. It has elevated millions of people to where we're more prosperous today than kings used to be. We all have music in our homes. We have air conditioning. We have refrigerators, microwaves. Capitalism causes our lives to prosper and thrive, but people speak against it. Many people today even speak against America itself. Governor Cuomo of New York, he said, America's not great. It never was that great. And people say America needs to be diminished on the world stage. America needs to be less. Make America less again. No, folks. People think, you know, they talk about slavery and they talk about how we killed the Indians and so forth. And they say that every blessing we have in America was just stolen from other people. Folks, it's just not true. Yes, we've made mistakes. America's not perfect. America has sinned, of course. But folks, America's the greatest country that's ever been. We're the most blessed and the greatest force for good in history. Our Navy has patrolled the seas for all nations for the last 70 years, 75 years. We've maintained peace. We rebuilt Europe and Japan. We've sent more missionaries and more aid dollars and invented more technologies to improve life than any other nation in history. And people say it's bad. People even say today that democracy is bad. You know, with our constitution's out of date. That's from the 1700s. We need to get rid of it. I heard it said this way, and I like this. Somebody said, you know, democracy is the worst form of government in the world. Except for every other form. Think about it. What a blessing democracy is. But people say it's bad. Why am I mentioning all these things? Well, because I see it constantly. But because it relates to this theme of serving God and being a Christian and so forth. People say, oh, just like those folks in Job, why should anyone serve God? One famous atheist, Christopher Hitchens, even said, religion ruins everything. We don't need religion to be moral people. In fact, religion is immoral. We should be ashamed of Christianity. It's hypocritical. It's caused wars, supported slavery, colonialism, genocide. Look at Europe. They were all Christians, and then there were two world wars, and they slaughtered each other by the millions. The Christians did that. How terrible it is. Oh, and if you serve God, that'll be bad for you. That's just a drudgery. It's slavery. It's boring and miserable. Folks, this is 180 degrees out from the truth. 180 degrees out. Serving God is the greatest thing that a human being can do. It's what we're made for. You see, we've had the world serving self for all of human history, and how's that worked out for us? It produces the chaos, the misery, ever since Adam and Eve. Serving God is what you were designed for. It's what'll bring you peace. It's what'll bring you blessing. Did you hear about the couple? I want to say this in joke format, okay? But did you hear about the couple who were living in paradise, and they were both beautiful and handsome and perfect, and all they had to do was walk around. They could eat anything they wanted. It was free. They didn't really have to work. And all they had to do was enjoy one another, and they got to enjoy God. They had fellowship with God. They had this ideal life. But did you hear about it? Somebody came in. Some snake slipped in. And he said, you know, paradise isn't that great. It's never really been that great. These are bad things here. This is all bad. God's keeping something from you. What you need to do is make your own mind up and make your own decisions. You should serve yourself. Don't serve him. Look at him. He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. I mean, look, after all, you're only here in paradise. Wow, good. This is terrible. It's not good for you. Let me ask you something. Was it really that bad for Adam and Eve to serve God? Did they really gain a lot by ditching that and deciding to serve self? What about Israel? They complained. What shall we prosper or profit if we serve God? It's too hard for us to serve God. Was it really that hard for them to serve God and be God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, in a promised land flowing with milk and honey, with the very presence of God in the temple there, with his protection and his provision for them, and an eternal destiny? Was that really so hard for them? Was it really better for them when they rejected that and had to be taken captive to Babylon? Is it really negative to serve God? Listen, their history is just filled with examples of people serving themselves, seeking their own happiness, only to have it evaporate, only to have it go through their fingers like sand. Serving God instead is what we were designed for. And I hope you've understood today, the most amazing paradox is that if you serve God and not yourself, all the other things that you so long for, they end up coming to you as a side effect. I want to close with just three scriptures here. I'll just read them to you, put them on the screen. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. In other words, serve God. Everything else will come. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, train yourself to be godly. In other words, serve God, for physical training is of some value, but godliness, serving God, has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Matthew 16 says, for whoever would save his life, and I put in parenthesis, whoever would serve self will lose their life. But whoever loses his life for my sake, in other words, whoever serves God will find it. And finally, because these things are the case, I want to wrap up with one more scripture. Joshua 24:15, where Joshua said to the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's the best thing you could ever do. I hope you've made that decision. Or if you haven't, I hope you will. Till next time, God bless you, and may he help you to see the benefit and the blessing of living as you were meant to live and serving him.